It's good to know that congregations like Oceanside exist. A solid congregation. Love and appreciate you for that. And I pray God will continue to bless the work that is going on here. You know, the Lord would have each one of us to follow Jesus Christ the best of our ability. And as we do that, brethren, we are shining light in this world. And I can think of nothing more the world needs at this time than the light of the Lord. And you know, we can shine that light and help people see that there is light and there is good. And there is decency and faithfulness in the world. And we can help people see that as we strive to live a faithful Christian life. The other night I drove down to St. Augustine, and you know, you folk know that I'm a Tennessean. About this time every year, I'm shouting Go Vols, whether they're losing or winning, and they're not doing too bad now. They didn't start off real well, but I'll tell you this, St. Augustine is probably one of my favorite cities in the world or in the country. I love it there. And I drove by the lighthouse, and I took a picture of it that night. And it's beautiful. And, of course, my sister, she wants to come down and see it, my mom. So maybe they'll come down and see that one of these days. But that's a lighthouse, you know, a beacon. And that's the way the Lord's church is to the world. It is a beacon to help people see. And I pray God this evening that this message will help us to draw closer to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the latter part of John 18:37, the Lord says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." One of the translations of that says, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." He listens or she listens with this motivation to hear what he has to say, to apply what he says, and then to obey what he says, and continue to receive the blessings that the Lord can bless us with through faithfulness. We talked about hearing the Son of God with or through marriage in the home. And when the Pharisees in Matthew 19 asked him that question, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" the Lord answered this way. He said, "Have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." And that is the goal of a marriage, for two people to become one. When you consider marriage, brethren, there's a lot that we will note as far as the differences between the two. We talked about male and female. There's differences in just gender. But do you know also you have, when two people come together to be married, you have the family origins and what the makeup is there. You also have two personalities. Those are different. Two sets of relationship experiences and two sets of opinions. And I have to tell you that my wife is right. And I said that the other day. I said, "Well, you know, I knew that your last name was right. I just didn't know your middle name was Always." She got a chuckle out of that. But at any rate, we're becoming one. That's the idea. To hear the voice of the Son of God and become one. And when we see what the Bible has to say about becoming one, and some very practical information that we need before we enter into that union, does the Lord provide some practical information that will help us? And the answer of that, of course, is yes, He does. If you'll turn your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. It is absolutely a step in the right direction for two people to talk about faith before they enter into marriage. I have often been asked this question, what faith are you? What faith are you? When you read this scripture, brethren, what does it say? What does the voice of the Son of God say through Paul as Paul writes this letter and he sends it to the church at Ephesus? What does it say? He says right there in verse number 4, there is one body. And do you know what that is? You folks know Colossians 1:18, that's the church. Are we hearing what God says about that? There is one body, the church. That's what he says. That's what Jesus Christ told us back in Matthew 16:18. When we go back there and read that, he said to Simon Peter, thou also, Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church. That's what Christ said. Are we hearing his voice? If we are of the truth, we will hear that. We will accept that. That will be a part of what we have in faith. I believe that. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Lord said. Then he goes on to say, there is one Spirit. The Spirit revealed the message of Christ and of God from heaven to people. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9. That Holy Spirit, his work was to make known God's plan through words and language that people can understand. God had a plan to redeem the world from sin. Jesus Christ, he executed God's plan when he finally went to the cross of Calvary there and shed his life's blood for the sins of all the world. The Holy Spirit also had work in that plan. He revealed the message to all the world. And the Bible says there's one. There will be no contradiction or confusion on the Spirit's part. When the message is revealed and we know what the message is, we have the truth, and if we're of the truth, we will hear what the truth has to say. So if two people are coming together to be united in marriage, shouldn't it be they talk about faith? Shouldn't it be you talk about religion from the standpoint of what the Bible has to say about it? One body, one Spirit, and one hope of your calling. There is one hope. One Lord, that's Jesus Christ. One faith. What faith are you? I scratch my head, I say, well, I'm of the faith that the Bible reveals. Does the Bible say that there's one faith? That's one gospel system. Where does our faith come? We know that faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. And hearing by what? What the traditions of men have to say? What the majority has to say? What a council has to say? What a creed has to say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Everyone who is of the truth will hear the voice of the Son of God. Amen, brethren. The truth is what is going to separate the Lord's people from all the other people in the world. We want what it teaches. We're going to accept what it teaches. We're going to obey what it teaches. And we're going to follow Him. He's going to know us. We're going to be His disciples indeed. And then as we follow that truth, we are set free. And we're continuously free from sin because the truth sets people that way. It makes them free. Paul went on to say one baptism. Now there's more than one baptism as we read in the Bible, but this baptism is for or unto the remission of sins. That's what this one is. It's the baptism of the Great Commission. Paul said there's one. and one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, note this, and in you all. If we are of the truth, we will hear the voice of the Son of the Almighty God concerning faith, concerning God, concerning Jesus Christ, concerning hope, concerning the church. Can two people who decide to come together in marriage believe these things exactly the same? And you know the answer is absolutely. Because he says there in verse number 6, it is in you all. In you all. And it can be that way for every person out in the world seeking for truth. And friend, when you realize it, we will have the truth together. And it will do for one what it will do for a billion. Make them free. We can hear the voice of the Son of God. That's what we would say before you start a marriage. Talk about faith and talk about being one and what the Bible teaches about it. Are there some other things we can talk about? Yeah. We can have the same ambitions or desires. We can have the same plans, the same goals, the same hobbies. We talked about doing some things together one day. And it's actually brought me to Florida and hopefully her to Florida in a little while, because we were on the same page with some ambitions and plans and goals that we have. We think one day God is going to allow us to travel the world and preach and teach the gospel. I pray that that happens. I don't know. But right now I'm preaching it here in Florida. And I'm just happy here as I would be if I were somewhere else. But consider that, brethren. You can have these same ambitions. Two can become one. Have the same ideas about the role of the members of the family. Man, we get a little antsy when we talk about this, though, right? What is the role of the husband? What is the role of the wife? Do we listen to the voice of the Son of God when it comes to those roles? Or do we kind of get shifty in our seat when the preacher is standing up before the congregation and he is teaching that the husband is the head of the wife? You know, and sometimes, brethren, that's all really that is said about that. Well, what does that mean? What does that teaching mean? Let's look at it for just a moment. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse number 23 that the husband is the head of the wife. That's what it says. So that's his role. He's the head. He's the leader. I'm telling you this now. I believe that there are husbands and wives, there are married couples out there today wherein the wife would wish that her husband would stand up and take the lead of his family. I believe that, brethren. And I believe that there are folks that don't, they do not even know this is in the Bible, but this is what they would have in their own marriages. And I've talked with people about it before. I wished he would take the lead, because it gets tiresome for the wife at times to do her part, and then also to try to do his. And she's not designed to do his. She's designed to do hers. And what's her part? Look at what the Bible says. If you back up, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now there are folks that read that and they think, well, that's inferior. That makes me inferior. It does not. The Bible teaches that we are all one in Christ Jesus. The very fact that Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit, the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, instructs her to submit, ought to have this in our mind. They are equal, and her role is to submit to him. But do you know, brethren, the verse that precedes this one is actually a verse that is often overlooked. Do you see what the Bible says? And verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I understand that to mean we are all to submit to one another. Is the man as the head of the house, is it his role to be a dictator and overbearing? He's also to submit. Does the Bible teach us to whom he submits? It absolutely does. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 3, Paul said, I'll have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Do you see those roles? Jesus Christ was 100% God while he walked this earth. You believe that, don't you? The Father in heaven is 100% God. The Holy Spirit is 100% God. For us to have a Savior, Jesus Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father, and he enacted the role. He played the role. He went through that to save us from our sins. He submitted to God. What men must do, the husbands must do, submit to Christ. You will not have them acting like a dictator, being overbearing. You will not have that. The wife submits herself to her husband. So there's submission there, and there's the roles. And when that is done exactly the way the Bible teaches it, then the families will fare better in their relationship with God, with one another, and even in the Lord's church. The Lord's church will be stronger because every person knows what's going on as far as their roles are concerned. The wife, the Bible teaches, is the helpmeet to the man. And what a helper she can be. And what a relationship that can be. When everybody is on the same page listening to the voice of Jesus Christ. The second thing Brother will talk about is when the Lord talked about uniting the male and female, what God does is he brings them together. That's what he does in his work. He brings them together. When he created the man, he also from the man took a rib, made the woman, brought her to the man, and the man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. He brought them together. How in this world then will they be able to stay together, to be knit together? It's going to be difficult without the God who brought them together. Hence the reason the Bible says that a man leaves father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Brother asked one time, he said, what do you see as far as a family or husband and wife relationship? What is the major part of the problem? He said there wasn't enough leaving and therefore wasn't enough cleaving. Have you folk ever glued wood together? You've done that, haven't you? Glued some wood together? That bond is so strong, if you try to tear it apart, you will more than likely rip the wood up before you will break the bond of the glue. And that's the word cleave. You're glued together. And the Lord would have us that way. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Are we hearing the voice of the Son of God when it comes to the marriage? The second thing that we'll look at this evening is, are we hearing the voice of the Son of God concerning the church? What does the Bible teach? What does the Lord say about the church? Brethren, this very idea, it gets confusing to people. It gets confusing to people because they look at the society and they see so many differences. They see so many traditions. They see rituals. What does the Bible say about the church? If we're of the truth, we'll hear the voice of the Son of God. His design for marriage is one man and one woman. God's design for the church. Let's hear it. The place. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established in the top of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the word of the Lord, and his law will come forth from Jerusalem. Zion and Jerusalem. Where would the church, the house of the Lord, be established? Isaiah 2, 2 through 4, in Jerusalem. When we come to the New Testament, in Luke 24, verses 46 through 49, the Lord said that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, notice this, beginning at Jerusalem. The Lord's house in Jerusalem, the gospel being preached in its fullness, begins at Jerusalem. Where were the apostles when the gospel in its fullness began to be preached? Let's look at it. Acts chapter 2. Notice this with me, please. Acts chapter 2. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse number 5, there were dwelling, look at that place, at Jerusalem. That's where they are. That's where Isaiah said the house of the Lord would be established. That's where Jesus Christ said the gospel, when it began to be taught, in its fullness, of course, would start at Jerusalem. This Pentecost, this is where the apostles are. The Bible says that there were men out of every nation there in Jerusalem. In Acts 2 and verse number 47, the Bible says that they praised God, they had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. Where did the church of Christ begin? In Jerusalem. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. If you go back and study the Bible and conclude from the Bible that this is the place where it would start, then anything that would have started previous to it wouldn't be the church, or anything that would come after it claimed to be the church would not be the church. It started AD 33, after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in Jerusalem. There is where it started. Jesus Christ would build it. The place is Jerusalem. And God's goal for every person who will be a part of the church, a part of His family, a part of His bride, will be married to Him in the church. Question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a polygamist? Or would you believe that He has one bride? Brother Polk, how many wives do you have? How many brides does Christ have? If we hear the voice of the Son of God, we'll hear what He has to say about His church. He said He would build it. The Bible reveals the place, Jerusalem. The Bible tells us how many He has, one. And every person that is of the truth will hear what the Bible has to say concerning His bride or His church. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look around the world, there's a lot of differences when it comes to religion and what people believe. The Apostle Paul said that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in His prayer, in John 17, prayed this prayer. He said, I pray not for these alone, but for also all them which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, Father, as I in Thee, and Thou art in Me, that they may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. What did He pray for? He prayed for them to be one. The husband and the wife, one. Jesus Christ and the obedient sinner, one. Jesus Christ has a bride. It's the church of which He is the groom. What should we be? This evening, if you're not a New Testament Christian, let me ask you, have you considered what the Lord says for us to become one? What does He teach? He teaches us that we must believe in Him. If you believe not that I am He, that is, the Son of God, He said you will die in your sins, John 8:24. Who wants to do that? Really, brother, nobody wants to do that, to die in sin separated from God? To spend an eternity lost? Nobody wants to do that. We want to see what the truth of the Son of God is. And if we're of the truth, we'll hear His voice. Believe on Him. That's the first step in the process of salvation. Then the Lord would say to us, we repent of those sins that we've committed. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then we make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess also before My Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father which is in heaven. Acts 8:37, the Bible teaches that the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that great confession. Bible says He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down, both Philip and the eunuch, into a body of water, and Philip baptized him. And that is the next step, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You contact His blood, your soul has been cleansed. You come up out of the watery grave of baptism, you're married to Christ. And His goal for us in His church is to become one. Do you need to do that? Would you come as together we stand and as we sing?
Come to Jesus, He will stay.